Track 28. The reasons for these revelations and Mary's quiet, suffering, prayerful, and preparatory role in redemption.
We have come to the last of the passages describing Mary's life and sufferings. Jesus lists seven main reasons for giving us the visions and dictations contained in Maria Valtorta's The Poem of the Man God. He says, "In addition to the joy of communicating an exact knowledge of me to this loving victim's soul, the reasons that have induced me to enlighten and dictate episodes and words of mine to this little John," meaning Maria Valtorta, "are manifold. But the moving spirit of all of them is my love for the Church, both teaching and militant, and my desire to help souls in their ascent towards perfection. The knowledge of me helps to ascend. My word is life. I mention the main reasons. Number one, this is the most important reason, because you are perishing and I want to save you. The most profound reason for the gift of this work is that in the present time, when modernism, condemned by my holy vicar Pope Pius X, becomes corrupted in more and more harmful doctrines, the Church may have further material to fight against those who deny her doctrines. Number two, to rouse a keen love for the Gospel and for everything pertaining to the Christ in priests and in laymen. First of all, renewed love for my mother, in whose prayers lies the secret of the salvation of the world. She, my mother, is the conqueress of the cursed dragon. Assist her power by means of your renewed love for her and of your renewed faith and knowledge of what pertains to her. Mary has given the Saviour to the world. The world will receive salvation again from her. Number three, to give spiritual masters and directors assistance in their ministry by studying the different souls of the world in which I lived and the different methods used by me to save them. Number four, to reinstate in their truth the figures of the Son of Man and of Mary, true children of Adam by flesh and blood, but of an innocent Adam. The children of the man were to be like us, that is, a creature in which there is the double nature, spiritual in the image and likeness of God, and material in the senses. In this reinstatement, I include both the moral and the corporal ones. Therefore, total and perfect love, both for Mary's spouse, to whom she is not attached by sensuality, but only by a tie of spiritual love, and for her son. Mary's son was most loved, with all the perfection of a perfect woman for the child born of her. That is how Eve should have loved, like Mary, that is, not for what physical enjoyment her son was, but because that son was the Son of the Creator. To those who consider Mary's love for Jesus too affectionate, I say that they should consider who Mary was. She was the woman without sin and therefore without fault. In her love towards God, towards her relatives, towards her spouse, towards her son, and towards her neighbour. They should consider what the mother saw in me besides seeing the son of her womb. And finally, they should consider the nationality of Mary in the Hebrew race, the Eastern race, and in times very remote from the present ones. So the explanation of certain verbal amplifications that may seem exaggerated to you ensues from these elements. The Eastern and Hebrew styles are flowery and pompous, also when commonly spoken. All the writings of that time and of that race prove it, and in the course of ages the Eastern style has not changed very much. And I tell those who consider Jesus' love for Mary too affectionate to consider that in Jesus there was God, and that God, one and trine, received his consolation by loving Mary, who compensated him for the sorrow of the whole human race, and who was the means by which God could glory again in his creation that gives citizens to his heavens. And finally, let them consider that every love becomes guilty when, and only when, it causes disorder. That is, when it goes against the will of God and against the duty to be fulfilled. Now consider, did Mary's love do that? Did my love do that? Did she keep me, through selfish love, from doing all the will of God? Through a disorderly love for my mother, did I perhaps repudiate my mission? No. Both loves had but one desire, to accomplish the will of God for the salvation of the world. The mother said all the farewells to her son, and the son said all the farewells to his mother, by handing the son to the cross of his public teaching and to the cross of Calvary, and by handing the mother to solitude and torture, so that she might be the co-redemptrix. Is that weakness? Is that sentimentalism? It is perfect love. Reason number 5. To have an exact knowledge of the complexity and duration of my long passion that culminates in the sanguinary passion accomplished in a few hours, that had consumed me in a daily torture that lasted for years and years, and had increased more and more. And with the passion of my mother, whose heart was pierced by the sword of sorrow for the same length of time. And I urge you, through this knowledge, to love us more. Number 6. To show the power of my word and its different effects according to whether the person receiving it belonged to the group of men of good will or to that of those who had sensual will, which is never righteous. And number 7. Finally, to make you acquainted with the mystery of Judas, that mystery which is the fall of a spirit that God had favoured in an extraordinary manner, a mystery that is repeated too often and is the wound that aches in the heart of your Jesus. We now draw passages concentrating on Mary's role in redemption from Maria Valtorta's 5 other writings, her 3 separate notebooks, and dictations from her guardian angel Azaria and from the Holy Spirit. In this first passage, Azaria says, Mary is the preparation for Christ. Certain beverages given to someone who is weak, lacking appetite, and nauseated by food and drugs or different illnesses, serve to restore strength, appetite, health, and desire for nourishment. They prepare the physical state's return to well-being and assist this return to the point of perfect recovery. So Mary, the Mother of the Lord, is the one who prepares the spirit for true fruitful union with Jesus. She, the universal mother, pours her milk of grace on her poor children, sinners, weak, sick, fearful, nauseated and weary. It is always sweet to receive comfort and care from a mother. She strengthens them and gives them a healthy appetite and a desire for more perfect food, that food which is in her and is one with her, her Jesus. Jesus offers Maria Valtorta a perspective of how easy it is to go to Mary, he says. The human eye cannot stare at the sun, but it can look at the moon. The soul's eye cannot stare at God's perfection as it is, but it can look at the perfection of Mary. Mary is like the moon as compared to the sun. She is illuminated by him, and she reflects the light which has illuminated her, making it bearable for your limited nature. Furthermore, she is the mother eternally, and she has all the mercies of the mother, excusing you, interceding and patiently instructing. Mary's joy is great when she can say to someone who loves her, "Love my son." For the mother rejoices in giving others, filled with love, to the son, and the son rejoices in seeing the mother loved by others. Our glory does not seek to impose itself, but is completed in the glory of another. I thus say to you, love Mary. I give you to her who loves you, and she will illuminate you solely with the softness of her smile. Then Mary says, I am the eternal bearer of Jesus. Whoever comes to me finds him. Who leans on me touches him. Who addresses me speaks to him. I am his dress. He is my soul. My son is united to his mother more, much more now, than he was in the 9 months that he was in my womb. And every pain is appeased, every hope flourishes, and every grace flows for those who come to me and rest their heads against my bosom. I pray for you. Remember that. The beatitude of being in heaven, living in the ray of God, does not cause me to forget my children who are suffering on the earth. I pray, and all heaven prays, because heaven loves. Heaven is living charity, and charity has mercy on you. But even if I were all by myself, my prayer would be sufficient for the needs of those who hope in God, because I never stop praying for you all, for the holy and the wicked, to give joy to the holy and give repentance to the wicked that they might be saved. Come, come, O children of my sorrow. I am waiting for you at the foot of the cross to grant you graces. And Jesus says, words disturb the atmosphere where God lives. Nor for the just are words needed for them to be convinced of the presence of God and of the wonderful effects of that presence in a heart. Either one believes or one does not. If you have God in you, you believe, for you feel God beyond the veils of the flesh living in a creature. If you do not have God, no word can make you convinced of the fusion of God with a human heart. It is faith that gives the capacity to believe, and it is the possession of God that gives the possibility of seeing God living in one of your fellows. God's mystery, God's reasons, cannot be explained with a human method. Only by living humbly in the supernatural can you see, through the fissure opened for you by goodness, the spiritual relations and the enrapturing contacts between a soul and God. Mary has attracted millions of creatures to herself with those gentle arms of hers. She evangelized before I did, with her reserved silence and her indescribable smile. It was enough for her to appear in order for harsh or impure words to be hushed, resentments to collapse, and pains to be soothed. Her gaze purified, her silence uplifted, and her smile instructed. Nazareth remained perfumed by her for a long time after her departure. The nascent church was consolidated by virtue of her silence and her smile, more eloquent than all words, from which there showed the face of God and the truth of her mission. I ask you only to look at and imitate my mother and yours. Grow in spiritual beauty to resemble her. From her learn the silence which speaks to God and of God, and the smile which teaches faith, generosity, and charity. Always look at my sweet mother so as to see her clearly at the hour of death. Whoever dies in Mary immediately has Jesus. Contemplate Mary and receive my peace. Nothing else is needed to be happy. Jesus speaks further of dying with Mary. He says, like children under their mother's veil, Mary's prayer forms a shield for you against the blazing heat of the senses and of the devil. It makes you grow in Christ and enter into his kingdom. And if Christ can make the dead rise again to grace, Mary, when really loved, keeps death from separating you from her son. When our enemy tries to bother you too much, say, Hail Mary, Mother of Jesus, I entrust myself to you. The devil feels even more repugnance at the name of Mary than at my name and my cross. He tries to harm me in my faithful in a thousand ways, but just the echo of the name of Mary sets him to flight. If the world were able to call Mary, it would be saved. To invoke our two names together is thus a powerful way to bring down and break all the weapons which Satan hurls against a heart that is mine. And Jesus says to a very ill Maria Valtorta, let the cross of death, man's last cross, have two arms. Let one be my cross and the other be the name of Mary. Then death occurs in the peace of those liberated as well from the nearness of Satan. For he, the accursed one, does not endure the cross and the name of my mother. Let this be made known to many, for you all have to die, and you all need this teaching to emerge victoriously from the final snare of the one who hates you immensely. Jesus explains a connection between holiness and suffering. He says, holiness does not suppress pain. Mary, in her immaculate holiness, suffered greatly over the death of her parents, whom she could not comfort with her kisses. In her holiness, which was so perfect and second only to God, she was able to love and suffer like no one else. Because holiness, as a bringing to perfection of all the good sensibilities of the heart, consequently bears an increased capacity for loving or suffering. The holier the soul is, the more this capacity is increased. Say to those who deny that Mary was able to suffer because she was holy, that she suffered in every way. Tell those who deny that Mary could suffer in her soul, in her mind, and in her flesh, in the hours of the Passion, that the value of the suffering of the Son of God would be increased by the value of the suffering of the woman full of grace. She had the perfection of feeling. She had born, generated, given birth to, and raised me. She was not made of unfeeling substance, but was endowed with nerves and a heart. She was flesh, not just spirit. Pure flesh, but still flesh. If I wept and sweated blood, can she have failed to weep and weep blood? I was her son. I was not a phantom man. I was flesh. I was her flesh. And in it and upon it, she, by her perfect foreknowledge, saw the scourges falling, the thorns penetrating, the blows descending, the stones hitting, and the nails piercing. And by her holiness she received them in herself. And Mary says, no matter how much people fail to meditate on or accept or believe in my sorrow, I was the victim, together with my son. And I am, for every offence against him strikes my heart and scourges my love for him, just as all of his suffering on the day of the Passion was a scourge, a blow, a thorn, a nail, an attack, and a fall for me. And so, now that a furious, untiring, more and more violent rain of hailstones is being hurled by humanity against the Lord, I am wearing the mantle of penance as a victim with my Son, the Divine Victim. Do you see? I remain with this gesture of supplication, which I adopted in the tomb, at the moment of my complete sacrifice and my supreme prayer for men. I beseech and scatter graces. I gather in prayers and acts of reparation. I offer myself and make offering. I implore the Father and the Father's mercy. I comfort the faithful with my graces. I take in their prayers and acts of reparation. I offer them to console the love of my heart. And to make them powerful, I offer myself with you, I, the victim mother of and for humanity. Greet me, Maria, in this way. Hail Mary, victim mother for the sins of men. Pray for us.